Professor Mann, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you very much.
Professor Mann, your essay on the Armenian genocide and the Gallipoli campaign is a thought-provoking academic work. But before starting the interview on your article, a bit about yourself. You are professor of politics at La Trobe University. What are your areas of interest?
Oh, well, I lecture partly in really world politics in the 20th century, and I'm also have an interest in Australian political culture, so that both Gallipoli interests me from an Australian point of view and the Armenian genocide from the point of view of world history, which is I've lectured in for 30 years now.
Were your parents survivors of Holocaust? I found references that they were refugees.
Yes. I mean, they both, they met in Australia, but one was in Berlin and one was in Vienna, and they fled just before the beginning of the Second World War independently, so they were... They survived because they fled in time, yes.
Professor Mann, for our listeners who haven't read your article in this month, the monthly magazine, or listened to your lecture at the 2006 annual lecture of the History Council of Victoria, could you talk about the main points you raised in your article and the lecture?
Yes, I mean, I can't give the whole argument in a couple of
just
points.
Just the main points, yes.
But the main point is, I mean, the beginning point is probably the most important, and that is that at the same time in the Ottoman Empire, the Gallipoli campaign took place and the Armenian genocide. The Armenians, I don't have to tell your audience, treat April the 24th, 1915 as the national day. Australians treat April the 25th, 1915 as their national day. And so my beginning point is really how strange it is, given how important Gallipoli is in Australian historical consciousness, why Australian historians, but also the Australian public, have never reflected on the not only the coincidence, but the connections between the two events. So the lecture really and the article are an attempt to draw out some of the reasons for the failure of Australians ever to think of the two events together.
In your essay, you rightfully state that, you know, from Charles Bean to modern Australian historians, they have almost ignored the issue of the Armenian genocide except in passing references. Yet Bean's unusually long dispatch from Gabatepe in Gallipoli in October 1915 clearly indicates that he was well aware that the Turkish government was destroying the entire Armenian population.
Yes, well, he was aware of it, and that interests me that he, in both two volumes of more than 1,000 pages, he barely mentions it. And he actually, it's interesting, I discovered recently, since doing the article, that he went back to Turkey after the Second World War, and he went to Adana, where there had been a very, as you know, a very significant massacre in 1909, from memory. And he made a very unpleasant comment about the Armenians. He said that they were sort of whining or... some very unpleasant word. So I think there is. It really is very interesting that he had very little sympathy at all for the Armenians, even though, being a well-travelled and well-read man, he must have known about what was happening.
Mm. Isn't this a contradiction?
Well, I don't know whether it's a contradiction or a problem. I think it's a problem to try and work out why someone who was well-versed didn't think that it was sufficiently significant to comment on it in the course of two large volumes on Gallipoli. And I think I can explain why, but it is a problem.
In your essay, you touch upon the subjects of history and collective memory. What's the difference between the two?
Well, in the very simple way, I mean, I think history is a discipline of thought in which those engaging in history attempt to understand and come to some idea of truthfulness in regard to past events. Collective memory is different. It's those memories of a people that seem to them so significant that they dwell on them and keep them at the forefront of their mind for one reason or another. And collective memories, and the ones, I think Gallipoli is Australia's most important collective memory. The Holocaust is the most important, I think, collective memory for Jewish people. The 1389 for the Serbs and so on. Collective memories are those kinds of events which are not interesting to people because of their historical importance, but because they really create their identity or are the most central events in the formation of peoples. And so I think Gallipoli is the collective memory of Australia because it is, for many Australians, the point of definition of the nation. And I think often historical questions bounce off things that are collective memory, that the collective memory is often a resistant to certain kind of views or even to expansion of interest. It's a hard idea, but it's one that I think is very important.
But between 1915 and 23, the Australian public knew very well, you know, what was happening to the Armenians. Their sympathies lied with the Armenians. Friendship and charitable organizations were found, funds raised. So is this part of the collective memory that, you know, faded over time?
Well, it's one of literally thousands of events that Australians have known about for a certain time and then have allowed quietly to die in memory. I know that there was a lot of reporting of the Armenian massacre in Australia, as there is reporting of, you know, thousands of events in the world. But I don't think it ever played a very particular role in Australian consciousness in a way that obviously Gallipoli and many other things did. And what to me is interesting is that the story of Gallipoli, which is a strange story for Australians to have so important in their consciousness, was, I think, the story in which Australians proved to the world and to the British Empire their sort of quality of manliness and heroism and stoicism. And for that reason, it's an event unlike, you know, other events, even in Australian history. And I would think, to be perfectly honest, if you ask 1,000 Australians about the Armenian genocide, only a very small number would even know about it, let alone know. Even colleagues of mine who are scholars often are surprised to hear that it took place, or the beginning of the serious massacres took place in 1915. They weren't even aware of that. So I don't think for Australians or even for Australian scholars, it's an event that looms very large yet.
I think another issue which is ignored is the fate of thousands of Armenian soldiers who were killed on the Gallipoli front. Turks are not interested in them, nor Australians.
Yes, I'm sure that's ignored, and I'm sure it's very important. I mean, there are so many things in history that are ignored by all nations, and that's one of them. But I think that the Armenian genocide is an event of really world historical significance, and up until that time, other things happened later, which are even more extreme, I think. But up until that time, it may be regarded as one of the greatest crimes ever perpetrated in history. So it seems to me that, you know, I don't think many of your audience will disagree, that it's something that should remain in the forefront of people's minds.
Another issue which is ignored and it's quite striking is the fate of Anzac POWs. Only a few survived the captivity.
Well, see, this gets onto something very interesting. There is a little bit of material on the POWs under the Ottomans, the Australians. Not much is available. I actually only discovered one history of Gallipoli, which has a chapter on the POWs. So not much is known. And there's another thing which is even more important, that Australians have, in a way since the time of Bean, but certainly since the Second World War, thought very warmly of the Turkish enemy, you know, John E. Turk. And the enemy has been thought to be a kind of a noble enemy. And it does seem to me strange that the whole question of the genocide and, you know, as you add, the question of how the POWs were treated has been kept out of mind. And then there's a very interesting question as to why, say, the Germans in the First World War are not treated kindly by Australian historians or by the Australian public. Australian historians tend to treat the Turkish enemy very kindly and have for quite a long time. And that, again, strikes me as slightly problematic because, you know, not only were the Turkish soldiers, did they treat the Australians who they captured or killed, they often, as I understood it, shot people who were wounded in battle, which is against the laws of war. But, of course, the empire which they represented was at the very time of Gallipoli campaign involved in this massive crime. And you'd think that that would be in the consciousness of Australians when they talk about the Turkish empire at that time. But it's not.
Last year, RSL Victorian President Major General David McLachlan said that the Turkish were a very honourable enemy. Isn't this in line with what you said?
Yes, that's the Australian view. And you'd never hear someone in that situation say that the Germans were an honourable enemy, nor would they say the Japanese were an honourable enemy. Now, if you ask the question, why is the Turkish enemy regarded as honourable? I think there's partly a matter of ignorance, but because I don't think they were an honourable enemy. I think that's unconnected to present-day Turkey, but just the way in which the army behaved was not particularly honourable. But there's also, if you ask the question, why is that view held? I think it's because somehow the Turks were there when Australia saw its nation being born at Gallipoli, and the moment the honour is to do with the Turkish army having been present when Australia proved to the British Empire what kind of manliness was in their own population when they came of age. So the kind of the self-congratulatory atmosphere has rubbed off on the enemy as well. It's a strange thing, but I think that's what happened. But you find, you know, we talked about Charles Bean. I quoted in the article and in the lecture a poem he wrote where he already in, you know, at the end of the First World War was talking about Johnny Turk, he called him Abdul, as a man who, you know, we respect and who played the game. And it is strange to me, and something that, again, hasn't been discussed much.
What was the response so far to your essay and the lecture?
So far it's been extremely positive. I mean, I imagine that there are Australians of Turkish origin who would be very unhappy with what I said, but they haven't contacted me and no one has complained. But I've had a lot of emails, both from Australians of Armenian origin, but also from Australians of general Australian origin, who were both expressed surprise to me that no one before had talked about this issue, and who found aspects of the argument very persuasive and important. So I've had a very positive response, and so far I have to say no negative response at all.
Professor Mann, in your essay you wrote that in the Australian collective memory of Gallipoli, the Armenian genocide simply has no role. Don't you think it can be changed sort of gradually with education?
It might be, but the argument I was making is a complicated argument, but the argument is that if collective memories are different from history, and the question of the Armenian genocide and Gallipoli is a historical question. The collective memory that I talk about is to do with Australian identity, which isn't that interested in the intricacies of historical argument or even historical occurrence. So that I suppose many people will, you know, if they read the article or listen to the lecture, will agree with it. But I think the reason that Gallipoli is of such great importance to Australians are reasons unconnected to history. And therefore, I think it's a bit unlikely that no matter what I might say or others might say, any but a very small number of people will begin to have the question of Armenia alongside the kind of Gallipoli story. I might be wrong, but it's what I fear.
Professor Mann, it's refreshing to see an Australian historian raise an issue that, you know, troubles the members of the Australian Armenian community for many years.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Of you? I mean, because I'm doing this as an outsider to the Armenian community. Has the question of Gallipoli and the Armenian genocide been a matter of discussion amongst Armenians in Australia?
I've raised the issue in my thesis. I argued that part of the genocide was carried out during the hostilities at Gallipoli, when thousands of Armenian soldiers were killed. But the issues you raised, I don't think they are widely discussed and analyzed in our community.
No, it's interesting. Everyone has their own preoccupations. Sometimes it's strange to bring two things together when they're often not brought together before.
During my research, I also read the memoirs of Ambassador Harry Morgenthau, I think chapter 22, where it discusses how the victory of Gallipoli affected the mentality of Turkish leaders. And they thought that after the victory on the Allies, nothing can stop them.
Yes, that's one of the points I make in the article too, that there is quite a lot of evidence now that the final decision for the genocide might have been made in March 1915, at the time that the English and the French navies were bombarding the fortresses in the Straits. So that, and then when the soldiers landed, things got even, you know, went even further. So it may be that there's even a sort of causal connection between the two events, that when the empire felt that Istanbul, old Constantinople, might fall, they became even more brutal and barbaric towards the Christian minority, or minorities, because the Assyrians were also involved.
Yes.
So, you know, the relationship of the two events is very real, I think, and Morgenthau is a very good source for that. Australians are not particularly interested in those kind of historical questions coming from abroad.
Professor Mann, thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll have other opportunities to talk again.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure. Good. Thank you very much.